A new study says first children may be smarter, that firstborns perform better in school, they have higher IQs than younger siblings. But why? Well, we've got Derek Thompson with us. He's senior editor for The Atlantic, where he oversees the Business Channel. Derek, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So first, tell us about this study. What did they find?
Right. So, you know, when I grew up, I sort of subscribed to what I called the first pancake theory of parenting, the idea that, you know, the first pancake tends to come out a little funny, and so the kids tend to get better as they proceed. My younger sister certainly is a lot more responsible than I am. But, you know, you go around the world, and people have studied this question, you know, who performs better in school, who earns more later in life? Is it first children or second and third children? And it's not just here in the U.S. It's all around the world that you see surveys of birth order finding that the firstborn have higher IQs, they perform better in school, their parents consider them more accomplished. So it is this study in particular that looked at children, but it's also a lot of other studies, which gives you a sense that, you know, it's not just a mistake that a couple researchers made a few years ago. This is potentially a very real thing.
And this keeps holding up in all these different studies.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, people have sort of tried to figure out, all right, we seem to have stumbled upon something, that first children have higher IQs, that their parents consider them more successful, more attuned in school. That's certainly what this recent study showed that looked at parents' evaluations of their children. And so the question is, right, why exactly is this the case? And, you know, there's a lot of theories. One that I find sort of interesting, the first that I find most intuitive, is just the divided attention theory. If you think of attention like any other currency, the idea is that earlier born siblings simply enjoy more parent time, and then as there are more siblings, attention is divided between fewer kids, and each subsequent child receives less parenting.
So the parental attention is a constant. The first kid gets n divided by 1, the second gets n divided by 2, and so on.
Perfectly
down the line.
Said. Exactly.
All right. And so that's one of them, divided attention. Now, some people, and this seems to be going away, but there's a genetic idea that the good stuff, good genes, got used up early.
Right, right. There's the bad genes theory. You know, one that I find somewhat intuitive is what I call the I've had it with kids theory. And here's the idea that, you know, let's say, you know, you're a parent, you have a first child, it's absolutely fantastic, you love it. Maybe you have another and another, and you only stop when you realize that, you know, the last child is simply too much work to possibly consider another. In that case, you're going to stop essentially with the worst child, and not have any more. You're not going to divide your attention anymore going on down the line. But this particular study, the most recent one, is what I call the lazy parent theory. And here's the idea that you have first time parents. And they don't want to, you know, mess up their new child. So they essentially install a lot of energy into making sure that this first kid sort of acts as the enforcer for the younger siblings. And so essentially the older child learns to be a kind of surrogate parent, and that there are certain advantages to being put in this position, so that within the family, the first child is lucky because he or she has the chance to teach and to instruct and to be a father or mother figure for the younger siblings, and that this is really, really good for development. So that for developmental reasons, there's a lot of advantages to being the first one born.
And then another theory that you wrote about is a different permutation of laziness, I guess, with that first kid. And I felt this as a first-time parent, not wanting to get things wrong. You're putting your all into it. You're checking each step of the way, avoiding those screw-ups. And then after you've been through it, you're like, wow, I really overthought a lot of that. And so you're more hands-off on the second kid. Well, but maybe that crazy overparenting the first time around paid some kind of dividends.
Right, exactly. Right. The idea is that, you know, for the first child, you essentially, you know, you buy Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and you just memorize every single chapter, and you're like, I'm going to be the best parent ever.
You're going to be the president violin, you know,
right, with
sports
the violin
star, yeah,
and all of this stuff. And then, you know, over time, you realize that you don't have to go through all of this to raise a child that's good enough, that you love, that you enjoy hanging out with, that doesn't cry too loudly in restaurants, and all of this. And so you chill out. And in chilling out, potentially, you can see that there may be minor differences in achievement level in school, because you essentially say, I don't need all of my children to be A+. I'm okay with B+ or B, so long as they turn out to be nice people.
Mm-hmm. Now, and then there's the divorce theory. Talk through that one.
Right. And so this is the idea that, a family crisis probably isn't going to happen, before the first child is born. You have divorce often. If you have a first child, in any case, it's usually while the first child is alive. And so that disruption, which might not take place during the developmental process of the first child, is taking place, and that disruption is very present in the life of subsequent children. And so there you see that a divorce will have a higher and more serious impact on the second, third child than it will on the first, because that first child is more likely to have grown up, at least initially, with a unified home.
Well, now here's another thought. I don't know if this theory came up in what you looked at, but is there a societal assumption that first kids are going to be better in some way and get more attention? And that's just talking about it demoralizes the younger siblings and makes them not try as hard.
Right. My sense, honestly, is that you can come up with a rationale for why almost any kid is likely to be the most coddled, right? If you're the first child, you are royalty. If you're the last child, you grow up the baby. If you're the middle child, you have this experience of negotiating authority while being an authority figure to your younger child. There's all sorts of ways you can, rationalize why any given child should technically be the smartest, the most well-adaptive. And as you know, there are all sorts of theories about what older children are like and what middle children are like and why younger children need more attention and so on and so forth. What I found interesting about these studies and these theories is that they're not just old wisdom. This is research, mm-hmm. and it's not just U.S. research. It's research around the world in Scandinavian countries too that do seem to show that for whatever reason, the first child seems to have a higher IQ, seems to perform better in the eyes of their parents.
Well, it seems
here the rationales have to be searched for because the data is there.
Well, and it seems like this is just IQ. I could say I did a little better in school than my younger brother, but he's more creative. He's better at hands-on stuff than I am. Is there just in 30 seconds or so? Is there research into other ways of measuring the output of the different birth order kids?
Right. Yeah, I mean, here, you're right. You're essentially saying, what can we know about kids at this young age that can sort of predict their future outcomes? And unfortunately, we don't know that much. IQ tends to be a decent but not, a terribly perfect predictor. The truth, honestly, is that, and this is going to be such a cop-out answer, I apologize in advance, there are just billions of children. So you're going to have so much variety of experience, first, second, third children, and increasingly in developed countries where there are more. But, I think what's important to know about this study is that when you look at Europe, Japan, the United States, other developed countries, families in these countries aren't having three or four kids. Mm-hmm. They're having one or two. And so they're going to pay much more attention to research that looks at what are first and second children going to be like.
All right, Derek, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Derek Thompson, senior editor for The Atlantic.